Today on Real Radio.
The bottom line is you've got something the world doesn't have. And that is that there's hope beyond the grave.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his topical series called What Christians Believe. We're in the opening studies of this series addressing professing believers, those who call themselves Christians, like a lot of us listening today. And we're learning what it means to be a true believer. We're also learning what it doesn't mean. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing his lesson quite simply called What If?
Again, even the atheistic person, they will have faith in something. They may have faith in what they consider their intellectual prowess, you know. I have a master's in this, a PhD in that, I'm a doctor, I'm a this, I'm a that. And he may scoff at faith. Oh, yes, faith, that's for those, you know, stupid, lemming-like Christians. But I guarantee you, he has faith. But see, here's the thing as for the Christian. Belief, yes. Hope is what we're searching for. But hope will never be gotten until faith takes us there. Church, are you with me? Listen to this. If I'm going to put my faith in the stock market, then I'm going to have an up and down ride, right? If I'm going to put my faith in whatever this world offers, will it not be oscillating or will it not be volatile, no matter what it is? You can say, well, I've put my faith in and fill in the blank. I guarantee you, if your answer in the blank is not God and his righteousness or Jesus Christ and his grace, if your answer is something other, then whatever you're clinging to and putting your faith upon, it will fail. God will see to it that it fails. He loves you so much, even, you know, Chuck Darwin believed in what he believed in and had faith in it. But, God loved him. And you got to wonder what went on in his mind in Charles Darwin's head. God loved him. But what was going on? I bet you when Darwin laid down at night and thought about how wonderful that blizzard was, and it just had their spare wings someday in history past and fly away like a bird. Fanciful story. But I bet you God was right there in his mind saying, hey, Charlie, are you sure you want to go with that one? As Christians, when we share with somebody, we don't have to beat it into them. Just give them the truth in love. But everyone has that faith object. The Bible says, I'm going to give you three different versions. Listen to this carefully. It's Hebrews 11, verse 1, in three different Bible versions. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Next version. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. Third version. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. That's a strong statement. If we have faith in God, we are confident and sure. Though we cannot see him, we know that he's going to take care of us. We know that he's going to get us through. That's the life of a Christian. We have faith in God. What's amazing is someone will have faith in something. They can touch it and feel it and drive it or talk to it or whatever it might be. And that thing that they can touch and feel and see and all that kind of stuff and get in an argument with or scratch, that's what their faith is in. Comes across like this, I can't live without you. Any of you engaged or thinking about it, watch out. That's a good thing, but watch out for words like this. I must have you. I can't live without you. Now, hopefully they're just saying that because they just saw the movie or something that leads them to say that. But listen, if you're engaged to someone or you're dating someone and they say, I can't live without you, dude, shallow life. Shallow life. You can't live without me? I can't live without you. Well, buddy, I can't take the pressure of that. If you can't live without me, I'm out of here. I want a man or I want a woman who knows what they believe in and has faith in God. Oh, I can't make it without you. You can't make it without me? Then how are we going to make it? Because I was thinking the same thing about you. You know? Faith in someone else or faith in something's going to fail. Yet it's intrinsic in the human heart. As we go through this series, we're going to be talking about what Christians believe. Ultimately, it's what we have our faith in. Do we have faith that Jesus Christ rose from the dead because the Bible says so? Or we had to spend $2,000, fly to Jerusalem, get the bus, you know, go there and go to the Garden Tomb and walk inside and say, yep, it's empty. Okay, now I have faith. You know what I'm saying? You believed before you ever saw the empty tomb, and you don't need to see the empty tomb. People are talking about Noah's Ark. Oh, you know, they're going to bring out Noah's Ark. It's in the ice in Turkey, and they're going to... So what? I mean, I could care less. Do you need Noah's Ark to believe? I don't need it. Well, if they just found the Ark of the Covenant, you know, and the Indiana Jones thing and all that, oh, that would be so awesome. Wow, can you imagine what that would do for our faith? What? What will it do for our faith? Well, if I could just touch this thing and pray in that direction, it's like the guys at the beach with the little thing. He's looking for a coin. And it's like, well, which way do I pray? Well, I'm kidding. You know, I've seen people on an airplane with a compass. Which way do I pray? They can pull out their compass. They got a little compass. And they pray. Like God's like, eh? Turn, can you? I can't hear you. Can you turn east? I can't hear you. What is that? Well, I can't talk to God unless I have this idol. I can't talk to God unless I have this position. I can't talk to God unless I have these things. That's not faith. That's idolatry. That's idol worship. But why does that exist? Because every human being will exercise faith in someone or something. Could be a car. It's going to rust. My daughter this week bought her first vehicle, first car. It's like, man, you're on your own, girl. And you know how it is. It's only like a few days old. So it's like, look at it. Look at it. Wow. And you know, it's like, yeah, that's very cool. And it is awesome. It's very cool. But you know what? You know, when she's 25, you know, there's going to be more. This is her first step in ownership of things in life. But, you know, things give way to other things, don't they? And I love it. I love it, right? You know, it's like everything's new and it smells new. But you know what? In 3 months, remember, we've all been there. In 3 months, see, right, you know, right now we park out in the parking lot, you know, in the last thing away from everybody. You know, you don't want anybody to hit it with a shopping cart, that kind of a thing. And then in 3 months, you're using it to push shopping carts out of the way. Because it's all going to rust, those things. They go away. They flee. As cool as they are, they go away. A house. You know, work on a house, fix up a house. And I know in our house, we were trying to fix it up. It sounds like we gave up. But we were trying. And in our living room, literally through the drywall, a termite came out of the drywall. Just, what is that? What is that? It's a termite. It's like he came through, hey, I'm eating your house. And it's like, we're still paying on this thing. But he's eating the house. If we're trusting in anything other than the Lord, it's going to get eaten. It's going to rust. It's going to get eaten. What if you have $1 million? You win the lotto. Now, I don't know Christians. You don't do the lotto because it's not your money, right? It's God's money. You would never buy a lotto ticket, huh? Because it's God's money and you're gambling with God. You would never go to Vegas and gamble with God's money because we don't have that authority. It's God's money. But for those people who do those things and gamble with God's money, what if you win $1 million? You could wind up like Mike Tyson. He's bankrupt. You could wind up like so many people who win lotteries. 75% of them wind up on drugs, divorced, and broke. Did you know that? Over 75%. Why? Because it's never enough. What if you're young? Well, you're going to get old. You're going to wear out someday. What do you have your faith in? Listen to this. Life continues beyond the grave. That's another thing that we want to consider. Life continues beyond the grave. Not only what is our belief in and our hope in and our faith in, but keep this in mind. Why should we study this series? Because, listen, one of the great messages we have to give people is life continues beyond the grave. Years ago, there was this saying going all around, is this all there is? Is this all there is? No, this is not all there is. Life continues beyond the grave. What insights do we have about life beyond the grave? The Bible deals with death, life, the grave, and the victory that comes through Christ. It's awesome. That's what the Bible has to offer. Hope. That death is a door for the believer. What does the world offer us regarding this topic? The world's got all kinds of stories. And you and I, listen, and I love this. I hope this hits you as much as it hits me. God says, if a man dies believing in me, yet shall he live. That's what Jesus said. He says, Martha, 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 calm down. Here's the truth. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. What does the world say? There's this light, and they talk about the light. Or, I was hovering in the corner of the operating room, and I was looking down, and the people were talking, and then I found myself coming. Everybody's got their own thing who's gone through such things, and what are you to believe? It's crazy. I would rather believe the one who told us what it's going to be like, then he dies and is risen from the dead and says, basically, I told you. Trust me. I am the resurrection and the life. Life continues beyond the grave. That is a fact. Well, let me ask you this real quick. If you were to ask the world, where should mankind go after death? If somebody offers, well, there's a destination after death. Okay, outside of Christ, where should mankind go? That would be an interesting question to ask people. Where do you believe there's life after death? Yes, most people will say yes, by the way. Ask them, what kind of life is it after death? Well, who or what would be responsible for whatever life that you're going to experience after death? Where does that come from? If you go off to some grand golf course in the sky, if that's your thing, well, I believe that, you know, there's a great golf course, and Tommy Lasorda used to talk about the big Dodger in the sky. Give me a break. God's not a Dodger. But people relate to him. You know, he's the great this and the great that. No, he's not. But people have this thing, well, he's gone to that great prairie in the sky. What? Okay, we'll give you your great prairie in the sky. We'll give you your endless summer of surfing, whatever your thing is. Who made it? Why are you thinking that way? Why is it that there's this thinking of beyond the grave? Very few people in the world say that there's nothing after death. I know some cults do. They say there's annihilation after the grave. How do they know? They don't know. Their cult leader said so they're like, okay. What if he's wrong and Jesus is right? Where should mankind go after death? God says, well, you know what? I'm extending you eternal life through Jesus Christ. Come to heaven. But if you put it on a human term, if you say, well, I don't believe in God or Jesus, but I believe there's life after death, based upon whose responsibility? Who did that? In your little dream world of eternity, who made your eternity? And what's it going to be like? Who's going to be there? Now watch, this is what it gets very funny. Who's going to be in your eternity? Oh, well, people just like me. Bad people? No bad people. And so you see what happens. If you don't trust in Jesus Christ and the words that he said and what the Bible says, then you begin to do what we hear so much of, create your own reality. The only thing is, honestly, you begin to create your own fallacy. And a person will gamble with their eternal soul. Well, I don't think there's anything beyond the grave. Or if it is, it's going to be a pretty nice thing. And people will make up something, and they'll lean on that. Better to trust what the Bible says. There's indicators, you know, that there's life beyond the grave. If you're a doubter or a skeptic tonight, you need to be thinking a little bit. It's a fact that man is a physical being. We all figured that out. We're here right now, touching and feeling and smelling and all that kind of stuff. We're a physical being. Doesn't take an Einstein to figure that one out. Man is a psychological being. We think. We can write a song. We can write poems. We can dream. But man is also a spiritual being. That's why man will never be happy until he's in the arms of Jesus. It's impossible. Why? Because you're a spiritual being. Mankind was made a spiritual being. And the final thought is this. As we look to this series, we're going to be confronted over and over again with the fact that man has been given the opportunity. Listen, man has been given the opportunity to change his life. Now that is a message of hope. Mankind has been given the opportunity to change. Change. The only real change there is a spiritual rebirth and a new beginning in God. Change. What do we think about change? There's very few of us in this room, very few of us on the planet, I would imagine, that would embrace change. We often view change as an enemy. Remember that one fast food chain recently that had that commercial? Maybe it was a year or two ago, same place, same meal, same time, whatever, and everything was presto, right? It was exactly the same. Everyone's walking in the same. You know why we like that? Because it's predictable. Why do we fight change? Because change suggests that we're not in control. We're not in control. Change has to happen in our lives. Christian, change must happen in your life and my life. Why? Because listen, if there was ever an evolutionary process, it's only in the scenario of spirituality. Oh no, I don't mean we evolved from a new believer to a grand believer. No. By the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit working our lives, the evolution that takes place is that our hearts are developed more after God day by day as we walk with him. We want more of Jesus. Change, we begin to embrace. Lord, change me, we pray. Lord, take this thing out of my life and do whatever. Or Lord, here I am. I read a note today from a student who sent me a note from Gambia, from this church. And he spoke in there about how much his life has changed. Right out of school, goes to Gambia. Life has radically changed. His future has changed. He left a kid in some respects and came home, or is coming home, a spiritual man. And the thing that he kept writing over and over again, is the change. The change has been awesome. I didn't know I would know this change and experience this change. And listen, if we're not walking in the Spirit, change is anathema to us. Change is like, no, I want everything just like this. I want it predictable. I don't want to have anything different in my life. And God says, no. I want to bring a change in your life because you are going from glory to glory to glory, says the scripture says. Why do you think the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not? You want to know why he said that? He's the only one who doesn't change. That's why he said it. I do not change. You change. I do not change. I'm the same he said yesterday, today, and forever. You may say, well, Pastor, how does that change come? That's the work of God. You don't change in that you put on new clothes or you say, I'm gonna live, you know, a real moral life. I'm gonna be really moral. Do you know what you'll do? You'll be the cleanest sinner in hell. That's what you do if you're gonna I didn't smoke or chew or go with girls who do. And you trust in your morality. That's not the change he's talking about. Jesus says, your life, give it up. I'll take it and give you life. You keep your life, you're going to lose it in the end. Give it to me. Change. The very nature of this is going to challenge our hearts to what we believe regarding our hope. How strong is it? And where's our faith? The bottom line is you've got something the world doesn't have. And that is that there's hope beyond the grave. And we're going to be better equipped to tell them out there what a Christian believes. And it's time that we, like one man with one voice, speak the same thing. It holds no value at all to say, well, this is what I believe. When it comes down to where you're sharing with someone regarding their soul and all eternity, don't say to them, well, our pastor says that has no weight. Well, you know what I believe? Holds no weight. You tell them, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. You tell them, Jesus says, if a man dies believing in me, yet shall he live. My friend, listen, trust Christ. He died for you on the cross. He rose again from the dead. He's speaking to you right now in this hospital bed, and he wants you to trust him. And the moment you close your eyes in this world, you will awaken in his presence, acceptable as though you never sinned. And you give them hope beyond the grave, something to believe in, real faith. By giving them the answers. That's what we must do as believers, as Christians. But we must know what we believe and why we believe it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study quite simply called, What If? It's one of the opening lessons in this topical series called, What Christians Believe. Now, we're just getting started in this series, so we invite you to join us again and each day if you can as we continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just recently, Pastor Jack concluded his series through the Old Testament book of Joshua. Now, if you missed it or you missed any part of it, here's the good news. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD. That's Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of Joshua, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. You're going to love this whole series on the book of Joshua. Just get it for yourself on MP3 CD, or maybe somebody you're thinking of could use it. Why don't you get it for them? Simply visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. Realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like to call us, we'd like to hear your voice at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.